at some point, you know, I'll be like, this has been great, Justin. And that's my cue that we're ending. I always feel like it's super awkward and like a big break in the conversation, but people listening don't seem to notice. Hello and welcome to Make It, Move It, Sell It. On this podcast, I usually talk with company leaders about how they're modernizing the business of making, moving, and selling products. And of course, having fun along the way. I'm your host, Adam Honig, the CEO of Spiro.ai. We make amazing AI software for companies in the supply chain. And you know what? Usually we wouldn't be talking about Spiro, but we are today. Because today I'm happy to welcome my friend and co-founder, Justin Kao, Spiro.ai's chief operating officer, who's also one of our supply chain experts, onto the podcast to help me kick off our second season. Welcome to the show, Justin.
I am so excited to be here. Big fan, first time, long time. You know, big fan of yours. So I'm honored that you invited me to join you.
Of course, of course. So just for our listeners out there, Justin, maybe just give us a little bit about your background.
So besides Spiro, what we started about 8 years ago, I've almost worked for Adam my entire career. Before starting Spiro, I actually used to be a CRM implementation consultant. So I would go around to generally bigger enterprise companies, and that kind of led into us learning a lot about CRM, learning a lot about different companies and different processes, and that eventually led to us starting Spiro.
Right. And what did you find, you know, when you were doing all of these CRM projects? I mean, what was that like?
You know, salespeople love CRM. I'm sure you talk about that all the time on these podcasts. So that was, you know, it was interesting. I feel like when we were doing a lot of implementation projects, it was kind of one of those things where, you know, it'd be great to build something. It would be great to deliver what your customers are asking for. But it's one of those things where when you're working with the actual people who end up using that software, they always hated it, you know? So it was like, it was kind of fulfilling if you could finish a project. But then at the same time, we had a bunch of customers when we were doing CRM implementation that would always have issues adopting, or they would always come back a year later and be like, hey, what's going on with this? Or we need you to fix that. And it was just kind of like it became like a long thing where we'd always be going on and going back and forth and fixing. And so that was, you know, obviously, you know, but, you know, for the folks who are listening, that's one of the main reasons why we started Spiro. It's because that experience in general is just terrible for folks.
I know. I think that you worked on a large project for an insurance company, right?
Yes.
After we finished the project, I remember having a meeting with their sales team and talking with them about how much they loved CRM, and like some guy threw something at me. That's how much they really liked it. It was terrible.
How many times have you told that joke on this podcast, by the way?
I don't think I've ever told that joke on this podcast.
So, you know, once you get to know Adam, I feel Adam's got like five jokes that he likes to go through. So I'm shocked that you haven't already dropped that one.
Well, it hasn't come up, but I'm glad that we had an opportunity to bring it into the conversation. but I remember being at this client, and after, you know, somebody threw something at me, of course, and trying to really understand what was happening. And it's just that, you know, the typical experience for salespeople with CRM is that they feel like it turns them into data entry clerks, and people really hate that. And so, yes, you're right. That's a major motivator for us to want to start Spiro. The other motivator, you know, which I'd like you to, you know, just shed a little light on, is why we chose, you know, to focus on companies in the supply chain. Why, you know, manufacturers, wholesale distribution companies need this like really different type of technology.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're supply chain experts by accident, I would say, right? Like coming into Spiro, neither of us, I mean, we've done customer implementations in the manufacturing space, but these were one of many projects. And then before starting Spiro, I would consider myself more of a generalist. I kind of know a little bit about a lot of different types of processes and a lot of different types of companies, but not really specifically about supply chain and manufacturing. But we just kind of saw an interesting trend within our customers as we were starting Spiro. Obviously, we didn't start Spiro just to target the manufacturing industry. But what we saw a lot of was that our customers in the manufacturing space didn't churn as much. They grew and they were really good customers, and they needed a lot of help specifically. And they were looking for companies who they could partner with, who would provide them that help, provide them that support, provide them that level of service. And once we did that and they were, you know, fully bought in to be Spiro being their partner, we saw them really, really flourish. And I feel like, when was it? Like 20, 2020 when we made that switch, where we decided, hey, listen, we're seeing this kind of trend with customers. You know, we don't see it as much with the software companies. We don't see it as much with the insurance companies, but we're really noticing an uptick, and there's really something out there. And when we looked at the competition, there wasn't really much out there for specifically manufacturing focused sales software. Traditionally, I would say an overlooked industry. And so kind of taking all the parts that we were really good at, which was the service, the implementation, the product itself, it was a natural fit. And we kind of went all in at beginning of 2020.
Yeah. No, and in my role at Spiro is to be very focused on the product. And I feel like, you know, the fact that there's a lot of artificial intelligence being used in the product to make things easier for people is much more important for companies in the supply chain than other industries. You know, the supply chain companies typically have a less tech-savvy sales team, and that they just need the software to do things for them instead of waiting around to log in at an internet location and take care of business, you know?
Yeah, you say that. It's like, it's kind of weird to think about a low tech adopting group of folks like manufacturing and say they need AI in their sales process, because it's like, what is AI to these folks? But you're totally right, because the AI aspect of it is what makes it necessary for that group. Like, these guys need something that will go in the background and automatically log data for them. They need little points of recommendations or proactive push notifications to figure out what's going on. They need AI to look at trends in their data and push them along the right path. And that's really where we've seen that fit there so well. It's that these companies need that help, and they're not getting that kind of help from any other sales supporting software.
No, I remember a big light bulb kind of went off for me. I remember we visited a customer who's in the electrical conduit business. And, you know, these guys were telling us that they had tens of thousands of customers placing orders, you know, every month, every quarter. And it was like physically impossible for them to see the trends in all of this, to notice when somebody didn't order without the AI solution kind of pointing it out.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. When I think about like the sales process of our customers, it's actually not a sales process. It's really customer care is the biggest focus. And, you know, this has kind of got emphasized post-COVID, I would say. But really, the most important thing for our customers is not necessarily building a pipeline anymore. It's gathering all of the data. It's gathering, whether it's from your ERP or from your marketing, having it all in one spot. And then how do I take this profile of my customer and make sure I can service them in the best way possible? I feel like when we see the way Amazon impacts customer service and Amazon impacts the way that people expect you to interact with yourself or with your returns or kind of order service, they expect that level of service, and you can't get that level of service if your information's not right. And so I think one of the biggest things that I've seen, especially after COVID, is that people have made this huge digitization push, right? And they really want to focus on how do I get all this information into one cohesive customer profile? And that's really, I would say, when I think about our customers, all of their goals are the same. It's how do we service our customers better? And leveraging Spiro, leveraging tools like that, getting information all integrated is a big part of that.
Right. No, I know we have a customer who's in the beer truck creation business, which is a great business to be in, getting to deal with, you know, Budweiser and all kinds of other breweries all around the country. But I remember when I was talking with them recently, and they were saying how, you know, just being able to provide very accurate updates to their customers about what's going on separated them from all of their competition. And it really built, you know, a loyal customer base, even at a time where they were delivering on their products, you know, months late due to supply chain issues.
Right. I think what's happening is that with supply chain issues, people expect product to be held up. So it's not even necessarily about execution. It's like kind of going back to the customer care thing. It's really about the relationship that you can build. We've got a lot of customers who kind of shifted their approach of Spiro to be pipeline focused, to be activity focused, in a sense that it's really around how I'm making sure that I'm building a relationship with my customers. Am I making sure I'm taking these people out to lunch, or am I making sure that I am saying hello when it's their birthday, or sending them a gift, something like that? So it's using Spiro to generate these opportunities for interaction, but also leveraging the data from their financials, from their ERP to understand, hey, maybe I should reach out since they haven't ordered in a while, or I should see what's going on. So it's really important for folks to really just have all that information in one spot.
It's interesting because I feel like, you know, from visiting so many like factories of our customers, I feel like I've learned so much about the production side of things, you know, and how much technology investment. We went to, you know, one customer who did 3D printing of dental, you know, inserts and all this kind of crazy stuff.
I went to the dentist the other day and they're like, hey, do you want a retainer? And I'm like, wow, I know how those are made. Which is interesting because like we got to see them actually 3D print retainers from customer images, which is insane.
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. So I guess my point was that, you know, people are investing all of this technology on the floor in production to make products better, you know, but for some reason, it's been a little bit of a struggle to get them to do the same thing in the front office. But I definitely see the tide turning on that now.
Totally. I think people are realizing with a lot of the folks being more remote, and I kind of think it almost, it's like a data supply chain that's happening inside organizations, right? You have the supply chain of getting your product in front of a customer, right? You got to go build it, you got to distribute it, you got to sell it somehow. But there's like an internal data supply chain, right? So at some point, you're generating data when you are building a product. You know what you're building. You're generating data when you send someone an invoice for an order. You're generating data when you send them a quote. And there's nothing internal. There hasn't been much of a focus internally to really bridge that together. When you think about the supply chain and how it's really intricate and there's a lot of steps involved, the moving piece from here to here and making sure this gets distributed and implemented the right way. That same attention hasn't been turned internally. And I think Spiro is a big part of that and kind of what we've learned a lot about our customers is how do we bridge that gap to make that kind of connected internal data supply chain?
You know, when I think about data supply chain, when you mentioned the first thing that also came to my mind is artificial intelligence, which of course, you know, in order to be successful with AI, you need to have large amounts of data. And I think we're starting to see with our customers that they're really ever able to leverage that AI approach successfully.
I'm curious, what are your thoughts on kind of how manufacturers are supposed to be leveraging AI and kind of going into 2023 and beyond?
Well, you know, so I think 2023 is going to be a year of explosion of AI technology. I feel like we're right at the beginning of a wide-scale adoption of this type of approach. And so I'm looking for improvements kind of across the board in things that Spiro deals with and in Spiro doesn't deal with. We were talking on the podcast recently with a manufacturer who's using machine vision to make their products better. You know, we've been talking with, you know, companies that have products that are on the shop floor to do a quality assurance analysis of products coming down the line based upon AI technology as well. So I think I'm very optimistic that we're just at the point of commercializing a lot of these technologies. Yeah. For me, I'm very, very excited about what's called generative AI, which is the ability to make very, very good sounding text generated from small amounts of data. And so the ability for our customers to be using that in terms of communicating with their customers, to making sure that, you know, product descriptions are super accurate, you know, to automating, you know, like we released a great feature that, you know, sends that actually, I shouldn't say sends. We released a great feature that, you know, what it does is it drafts an email for a salesperson based upon a conversation that they had. And just the number of applications for this type of technology is truly limitless. I'm super excited about it.
Oh, yeah. I showed that to someone recently, and they were just, well, I showed them that, and I also showed them we have a feature where we transcribe every phone call made through Spiro, and we write a summary of that phone call that you've had through Spiro. So,
and it's not I writing it, it's the AI writing it, just to be clear.
Maybe 8 years ago, it was us writing in the background, but now we've got the technology behind the scenes to actually do it for us. But they were blown away because when we do demos of Spiro, and usually we set up a fake demo phone call to ring out to, and it's usually Adam on a pre-recorded line saying, hey, how's it going? I'd love to order more. Someone changed the phone number of our test contact, and I actually called someone. And I think the conversation went like, oh crap, this is a real person. Sorry about that. And I hung up. but then what had happened in real time actually was that the phone call got transcribed very accurately. Cause I guess when I was, you know, going off on this tangent, I spoke very clearly, which is not common for me. And we actually summarized it, and it said, Justin called by mistake and he didn't mean to, something to that effect. And they were like going crazy over that. And it's come a long way since, I don't know. Were you ever on AIM Instant Messenger, Adam? I don't know if that was
the AOL Instant Messenger.
AOL sure. Instant Messenger. Yeah. I remember when I was in high school, this might date me a little bit, but, I was IMing, something called Smarter Child. You ever interact with Smarter Child?
I don't think I know that one.
That was like the bot at the time. And, it was a bot. It was really just a database of like 10 responses that you would just type at. And me and my friends would just chat at Smarter Child all the time. And it would just be like, we would say dumb things, but it would always respond in some canned response. But that was like artificial intelligence at the time, right? It was like a few canned responses and that was really it. But now we've got artificial intelligence able to really intelligently articulate what you're trying to say, give a next step and suggest, you know, the future next steps, right? So it's amazing how far it's come.
For sure. I mean, I don't think it's impossible to imagine sometime in the next, you know, 3-5 years, if you're a salesperson and you're on vacation, instead of having an out of office reply, have an AI out of office reply, where if a customer emails you and says, hey, what about this order? The AI can be like, well, I'm just an AI, but I looked it up and here's what I think is going on with it. I mean, that is not at all crazy from where we are today. I mean, already, you know, if you're using Spiro, you can just email what we call the Spiro assistant and say, hey, what's going on with this company? And we'll give you the update, right?
Yeah,
You know, since we are often very hooked into order information, you know, we have that data. So I think that's, you know, that's might be the kind of thing that people start seeing over time. And it's going to just be like small little improvements, but they'll just start showing up in everybody's workflow.
You know, sometimes I talk to prospects who are scared of AI, scared of automation, scared of all these little things that like seem a little bit Big Brother-y, a little bit, you know, Terminator-y, because I think that's how it starts in Terminator with the AIs rising up. But the exact use case that you talked about right there, that's exactly what it's going to be used for, right? It's how do I take the stuff that I might have missed or stuff that I'm not available to attend to, and how do I automate that? And so I think that's a perfect example of where this is going and kind of the future I also see for it. And it's really, really exciting.
And I know, you know, a lot of the AI work that we've been doing to date has been, you know, really predictive analysis, right? Based upon certain ordering patterns, you know, here's what we're seeing, or based upon a gap in an order history, hey, how can we get the right person to follow up to make sure that there isn't something going on? But I think the generative content takes it up to the next level where, you know, Spiro or other platforms can send you an email. And instead of just saying, hey, here's company, here's the low order alert, it can actually write the narrative about it that'll make it easier for you to take action on that. So I think there's a lot of good stuff coming.
You can tell that narrative. Do I want to write it in a positive spin or a negative spin? Like, you can get really granular with it.
Hopefully nobody will want a haiku written out of it, because the AI is just not that great at poems, I have to say. So if you ever need any listener out there who's really wanting to test something to see whether it's a AI or a real person, try to get them to write a poem for you, because the AI is terrible at poems.
Yeah, it's developing, I would say. It's learning.
All right.
So a year or two, you'll be blown away by the haikus it's writing.
So let's shift topics for a minute. Justin, you know, I know, you know, so you've been traveling and meeting with a lot of customers and seeing everything in their operations. You know, what do you feel like you've seen as sort of a trend from visiting all of these, you know, manufacturing, wholesale, distribution customers that we have?
Yeah. So I kind of talked about this a little bit before, but the trend I'm seeing the most is a shift from pipeline to customer focus, right? And so really it's people obviously care about tracking their sales and their potential sales in Spiro. But the problem that people are coming to me the most with, the thing that they want to make sure they address, is how do we serve our customers the best? And I think it starts, like I mentioned before, it starts with like getting all the information in one spot. So I'm seeing a bigger trend of folks who want to make sure that their team, anyone who's customer facing, has all their data in one application. So traditionally in the past, you've had your ERP, which is where your financials, maybe your manufacturing backend, you've had marketing, you've had maybe your quoting tool that you're using to send out quotes to customers. But really, they want everything in one spot so that when you look at a customer record, you can make a pinpoint decision on what you should be doing and you have full visibility, full history, the full story. So it's really a shift to getting data optimized and how do I act in a way that's the best for my customer? Because like a lot of our customers, they're so busy, right? They don't really necessarily care as much about closing new business. They are so backed up for the next year, 2 years, that it's really about how do I serve the best customers? How do I know who my best customers are? And how do I make sure that they have a certain level of service, that they continue to be my best customers? And that's the thing I'm seeing. It's really a shift away from pipeline management to customer care.
I totally agree with you. The everybody is, of course, interested in developing new customers, but it's everybody's first goal to maintain, you know, and strengthen the relationship with their existing customers. And I think that's something that's very different in the supply chain today than it was like 3-4 years ago. Everybody knows that, you know, the economy can be good, it can be bad, but if you have your customers, you're always going to do well.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Well, Justin, I really, really appreciate your coming on the podcast. I hope this isn't your first podcast you've been on.
No, I've been on a couple others, but you know, this is the first one I'm being video recorded. So I actually wore a shirt today. So hopefully that people appreciate that. And I took a shower, which is not always a guarantee in a post-COVID world every morning.
Well, I really appreciate your coming on. I think, you know, we talked about some really important things. I mean, obviously AI is a big topic that people are going to be hearing a lot about, but how it applies specifically, you know, to companies in the supply chain is super important. And then this trend that, you know, I know we've talked about, you know, with other guests as well about how, you know, strengthening and deepening customer relationships is really the big thing that companies are focusing on and really should focus on today. So appreciate your coming on, spending a little bit of time with us. I also just really appreciate your starting Spiro with me. So I want to say it's been a great partnership. So I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, can't wait for the next one.
And as a reminder, I want our listeners to know that they can find every episode of the Make It, Move It, Sell It podcast at spiro.ai/podcast. You know, feel free to subscribe. And I don't know, Justin, do you think people should maybe, you know, like the podcast or give us a good rating or both? What do you think?
I think people should like it, give us a 5-star rating, then unsubscribe, then resubscribe, and give us another 5-star rating.
All right, that's perfect. And if you can do all of that, I'm sure there's a prize waiting for you. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. We wish you the best in 2023, and we're looking forward to speaking to you at the next episode.